Praise God. Hallelujah. God is so good. Glory to God. Praise God. I don't know if maybe you were sensing what I was going to preach tonight, but just in when we're praising and worshiping God, you know, you really had it on you. So praise God. Glory to God. I hope you bring it on Sunday too, because that's just what gets the juices flowing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited. I am so excited for today. You know, I don't even know where to start here. I mean, I got a message, but I got some other stuff I want to say too. Just God. Well, first of all, it's National Enjoy Your Work Day, Job Day. What am I close? Something like that. What is it actually? Yeah, it's basically National Have Fun at Work Day. Yeah, Have Fun at Work Day. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you. You guys came to service tonight, but I came to work, and I'm just going to have fun up here. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to have a good old time preaching the word tonight. I just determined that already. Yeah. Glory to God. As my wife said, I've got things stirring in me. I've had some things this week. I've spent some time with the Lord, and man, is it good. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, you will never be disappointed in spending some time with God. You know, I spent 2 hours with the Lord at a coffee shop this week. I mean, more than that, but in one point, it was 2 hours in one day, and I left there, you know, and praise God. I don't want to get too far into my message, because I'll start talking about some things that I'm going to preach about tonight, but you know, as I was leaving there, like, you know, I stopped reading the Word, and I was still praying a little bit and stuff, but I had stopped reading the Word, and I just got my truck to drive, and wouldn't you know it, the Holy Ghost followed me, praise the Lord, and He just kept working on me the whole time I was in my truck, so I didn't even get to get out of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's one of the awesome things about fellowshipping with our Lord, is that when you do that, when you learn to do that, glory to God, you get into some stuff. Yeah. Hallelujah. And you think you'll be done with this stuff, and He just keep delivering. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. See, a lot of people on the outside, they don't understand this stuff. A lot of people in the church don't understand this stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, when you have an experience with God, there ain't no turning back, glory to God. When you start realizing that God ain't just like Santa Claus or somebody else you don't see, but He's somebody you actually can, that you can commune with and be fellowship with, praise the Lord, you won't want anything else, amen? And that's what we're trying to do tonight. We're going to stir you up, you know. And as we were sitting there, as I was talking about that in prayer, you know, I was thinking, all of a sudden this thought came to me, you know, about how God is hidden, but He's not too hard to find. Amen? And one of the things my family, my wife and I have liked to do, we've discovered these things called escape rooms. Amen? You ever heard of an escape room? You got like 30 minutes or an hour or whatever to get out of it. Well, there's different types of escape rooms. The first one we went to was quite involved. Amen? It's not something that you would take a kid to, because it was something you need to think more. Amen? You also don't want to take somebody who's distracting. So if you got somebody who's twitchy or itchy or anything like that, just leave them home. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Because you got to be focused on what you're doing. Amen? But then they have these other escape rooms that are more popular, and they're more kid-friendly, they're family-friendly, that everybody can go to. And they're quite a bit easier. Amen? They have some things you got to figure out, but it's not too hard. Well, how many know that that's what God is like? You know, God's given us, you know, he's concealed enough of Himself so that we search for Him. Because, you know, anything that's just laid out for you isn't just given to you like that is not enjoyable. But when we seek Him, it's not hard to find Him. And that's what I love about our Lord, is because as long as we put forth the effort, yeah, praise the Lord, as long as we put forth the effort, He's going to meet us right there. Amen. And so I just had that, you know, that He's not difficult to find. And I don't know, maybe that'll help you or help somebody. Praise the Lord. Well, if it doesn't, well, praise God, it was good anyways. Amen. But tonight we're talking about, the message is called Worship the King. Amen. And actually, I talked to my son this week, and I said, these two songs, you have to do these two songs on Friday night, because these two songs were really stirring in me. In fact, this song, Worship the King, I've been singing this most of the week, amen? Praise the Lord. And the other one, we'll connect it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But tonight we're going to be talking about worship. And we're doing this by the direction of the Holy Ghost, amen? Praise the Lord. We want to do things by the direction of the Holy Ghost. We don't want to just have church to have church. We don't just have messages to have messages. Praise God. You know, I was talking to some denominational preachers, and they were telling me, or pastors, and they were telling me how they do messages that, that the way they do message, they have kind of a program that they go by, and they're allowed to vary in their content a little bit, but pretty much they know what scriptures they're going to preach 10 months from now, 9 months from now, 2 years from now, because they go through the scriptures every 3 years. And I understand there's merit in that, the idea of going through all the scriptures. But see, the thing is that's not as exactly being led by the Spirit now, is it? And see, the problem with that is, I'm not trying to come down on denominational ministers at all, but the problem with that is if you don't let the Lord show you what he wants, if you don't let the Lord give you the message that he wants, then the people ain't getting what they need. And if the people aren't getting what they need, then they're not going to change, they're not going to get fed, they're not going to have all the nourishment that they need out of the Word. See, we were meant to come together to have the Word preached to us to change our lives. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so this message tonight is going to change your life if you stick with it. If you hook up with it, amen. You know, there'd be lots of opportunity to say, well, I don't want to do that or whatever. But see, we want to do things God's way. And we're going to see that here today. Amen. So we're going to start in the book of John. John chapter 4, verse 22. Praise the Lord. John 4. We're almost there. John chapter 4, verses 24. Glory to God. Now, this is when Jesus had met a woman by the well, and he was talking to her about the drinking from the true water, praise the Lord, that was the Spirit, amen, and he was talking about him coming, you know, his purpose of being there, and so on and so forth. And we pick it up here in verse 22, and I really, really... thought this was interesting when I was getting into this. Now listen to this. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. He said to her, you worship what you do not know, but we know what we worship. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, I'm assuming that Jesus isn't talking about just anybody that knows what they worship, but the people who are truly worshipers of God, they know who they worship. Amen? And see, this is really, really important, because a lot of people have this idea in church that you worship the way that you want to worship because it's about you. You know, we have to take this idea of things being about us out of our minds. We have to get that out of our mindset. And what I mean is that we don't do things our way, we do things God's way, because our way screws us up. Our way gets us into trouble. Our way gets us into bondage. Our way gets us into ideas that aren't God's. We want to do things God's way. And one of the number one ways that people miss it is in the area of worship. Amen? Praise the Lord. But first of all, most people don't even worship. But we're going to see this. This is important. Amen? This is life-changing. In verse 23, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Hallelujah. True worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. What is spirit and truth? He is not seeking people to worship the way they want them. They want to do it. He's seeking them to worship. He's seeking people to worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, led by the Spirit, based in the Word. Amen? The only truth we have, the only truth we know is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we are to be led by the Spirit. It is incredibly important that we are led by the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God will only and ever lead us according to His Word. So this is what he's talking about. There'll be people that will worship him in spirit and truth. In other words, if it isn't said in the Bible, then it's not right. Amen. If you don't see how to worship in the Bible, or if you don't worship according to the way the Bible says, then you aren't going to worship him in spirit and in truth, at least not in his spirit. Amen. And so there's so many people that are having worship services, things, and they don't even know what they're doing, because they're not doing it according to the Word. Amen. The word worship means to reverence and to adore, amen? To prostrate oneself. It's submission See, this is something people don't like. They don't like submission. They don't like to hear submission. But submission is what we need. We need to learn that. We need to submit ourselves before the Lord. We need to, you know, to prostrate. You know, you get this idea of like laying out on the floor and worshiping God or being on your knees. This is where the being on your knees and folding your hands comes from, the idea of that. It's not just an act because it does something, but it's to show your humility. It's to submit before the Lord. Amen? Worship gets you somewhere. Yeah. And we're going to see this today, and I'm so excited about this, because if people will put this to practice. Now, this is something I've noticed a little bit in our church. You know, if you've heard me on Sunday morning, you'll hear me say sometimes, you know, I know that there's more than one person in here that God's done something for. Yeah. You know, we have to stir ourselves up in the things of God. We have to make ourselves do them sometimes. Sometimes Sunday morning you come in a little bit groggy. You might not want to do the word. You might not want to do what the Bible says. You might want to just sit there and hear a message. But see, this is the thing. We don't want to just come to church to sit and hear something. We want to come to church and have our lives change. We want to come to church and have something done in us. And so when we go out there and we live our lives, that we live better than what we've ever lived before. Amen? That we know things that we've never known before. That we can do things that we've never done before. See, this stuff don't happen just by accident. This doesn't happen just by sitting in church, by walking by a church, praise the Lord. Because if it could happen just by sitting here, it could also happen just by walking by. You could come sit in the parking lot and never have to come listen to me if that's the way it happened. But see, it's part of our participation is a must. And the worship is the place where we find that. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. True worship has an effect. It always does. Often people are praying and asking when what they need to be doing is worshiping. See, so many people, well, first of all, people don't know how to pray, and so they come to God praying wrong, and they pray to God like they hope that it's going to happen, like maybe if I beg him enough, if I cry enough, if I scream enough, if I show him how sad I am enough, maybe then he'll answer me. See, that's not praying right at all. That's praying completely wrong, and those people very rarely have their prayers answered. Why? Because it's not the way we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to pray from a place of faith. When you go before God, it says come boldly to the throne of God. You got to come boldly to the throne with confidence that you know, because of the nature of who your Father is and who He's made you to be, that when you go there to ask Him, you're not going there to ask Him like you're not going to get it. You're going there to ask Him like you know you're going to get it. See, that's how a believer's supposed to pray, and that's how a believer receives. That's part of how a believer receives. But what do believers do? They go back and pray again, and they pray again. God knows when you've already asked Him for something. He doesn't need you to ask Him 10,000 times. God doesn't need you to ask Him. You know, the Bible does say to keep asking, keep knocking. But the idea is that you keep coming before the Lord, that you don't stop coming before the Lord, because you know you're going to get the answers that you desire. But a lot of times what the people need is they need to, once you've prayed for it, once you've asked for it, that's when you worship God. That's when you go before the Lord and you say, Lord, I praise You because You're so good. I worship You, Lord, because I know that every single time I come to You, You're going to answer my prayer. Every single time I ask You for something, You're going to make it come to pass. I know that I have it, and I don't have to be in fear about it anymore. I don't have to be afraid. See, this is what worship is telling God how good He is for taking care of you. Praise the Lord. If I walked up to you every day and gave you a $100 bill, wouldn't you start thanking me for it? Man, you would start feeling humble. You would, every time I approach you, you would start getting a little bit like, you would start feeling something. Yeah, absolutely. This is exactly the way it works. But see, God has given us so much more than a $100 bill. He's given us life and more abundantly. I mean, a $100 bill to a Christian should be nothing. It should not even be a thought. It should be nothing in a Christian's mind to give a $100 bill. It should be nothing for a Christian to take your $100 bill and rip it up and throw it away because it doesn't matter to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, God has promised us so much more than this, and yet Christians get hung up on the stupidest things. I include myself in this. I'll get hung up on something, and I'll be like, wait a minute here. You know, the devil will try to rob from you. My wife was talking about a church building in Corey. We ain't got a huge congregation there yet. Certainly not one that will pay the bills down there. So what is the devil going to do? He's going to come and try to rob from my mind. But you know something? Most people have a house that's close to the same amount that we paid for the building in this area. Yeah. And there's thousands of people that have houses that are way more valuable. I'm talking like one or two people, like families. You understand what I'm saying? We are churches, We are a church here of approximately 60, 70 people. Amen. Glory to God. These are issues that shouldn't even be. But see, because people don't connect themselves with God, they don't realize who they are, who He is, and so they worry about 10, 20 bucks. 10, 20 bucks in a believer's mind. I remember when 10 or 20 bucks seemed like everything to me. Praise the Lord. God could move on me and say, give that person 10 bucks, and I'd be like, is that it? Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the place that we've got. There was a time when we were so poverty-minded because that's where we lived. Amen. That's where we lived. We didn't have anything. I'm not even talking about poverty tonight or prosperity, but praise the Lord. People want to worship, or they don't want to worship God, but they want Him to do for them. You know, it's kind of the equivalent of, you ever been out driving and you let somebody go? Come on, go ahead. You know what I mean? You feel pretty proud of yourself, don't you? Feel good about yourself. You're like, yeah, you go ahead. I got time. Go ahead. And then they pull out and they don't say hi or thank you or anything. They don't flash their lights. They don't do nothing, right? You get kind of ticked about it, don't you? Right? I mean, is there anybody else that's been there? Amen? Yeah. I get ticked about it all the time. And then what do? You speed up, you get on their bumper. I'll teach you not to say thank you. Yeah. Well, how do you think God feels? He delivered His Son to us. And people have a hard time worshiping Him. He delivered His Son. He gave Him His Son for thieves and murderers and rapists. Hallelujah. He offered Him up. And yet people have a hard time with worship. Worship is not something that's hard. It shows. See, this is the thing. This is what we're trying to infuse into our church that a lot of Christianity has lost. And that's that idea of, like, your feelings don't matter. I don't care about your feelings. Praise the Lord. I love this one commentator guy. I haven't watched him recently, but his name is Ben Shapiro, and he always says, facts don't care about your feelings. Yeah. And that's the truth. Your feelings don't matter. Get over your feelings are fickle. Yeah. How do I know this? Have you ever had a bad day where you just woke up and for no reason you were just snarky, and everybody's like, hey, what's wrong with him or what's wrong with her? You know what I'm talking about? You ever had one of those kind of days? And you know in your mind when people are around you, you know that they better be careful because you know you're having a bad day, right? But then the next day, you're happy-go-lucky. Everything's fine. You're riding high. Everything's great. Glory to God. Your feelings are fickle. Yeah. They're fickle. Hallelujah. Because why? How do I know? Because I can be sitting there on top of the world feeling really great about myself and then let somebody go out in front of me in the car and they just don't wave to me and I get mad. Feelings are fickle. They're fickle. They don't matter. Your feelings don't matter. If you live by your feelings, you are a moron. Yes. Most humans are morons. Hallelujah. Why? Because most humans aren't following the Word. The Word is wisdom. The Word will teach you. The Word will get you there. It'll bring you through. It'll take you over. It'll give you everything you need to know. Most people, we don't mean to be morons. We just are by nature. But see, now that you know that you're a moron, I'm going to tell you how to not be a moron. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, you know I don't really think you're a moron, just like I really don't hate Italians. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I would have to hate myself. Thank you, honey. Thanks for reminding me of that. I'm Greek. Hallelujah. Didn't you hear me? I said, I'm Greek. Hallelujah. You know what Greeks are? They're Italians just on the other island. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. None of it matters anyways. Praise the Lord. There's neither Jew nor Greek, right? It doesn't matter what you are. Praise God. But people need to worship. People need to learn what worship is. They need to get joyful about it. That's what I was talking about. Your feelings don't matter because sometimes you don't feel like it. But see, that's when you can turn it on. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. When the ground is dry, praise the Lord, it doesn't have any water in it. You know what I mean? When there's a drought, there's no water in the ground. But you know, when you turn on the faucet and you let it start running or it starts to rain, what does the ground do? It soaks it up. Why does it soak it up? Because it's dry. It wants it. Amen. It wants. And that's exactly what we need to do. When we come in and we're not feeling like it, what we are feeling is dry. We're feeling lacking. See, because when you understand what worship is, when you get take that time to get into worship and you start realizing what it does on the inside of you, when you're worshiping God, it's doing something to you. When you start realizing it, you're not hating worship anymore. You're like, whoo, glory to God. I'm going to do this a little bit more. I'm going to get into this. My wife and I were talking about this today. We've been endeavoring to just get more and more in depth into the Word and into God and fellowship. And all of a sudden we realize that we haven't even been thinking. It isn't a matter about like not just not wanting to watch TV. We haven't even thought about the TV. We haven't even thought about those things. And I'm not saying those things are wrong. You know, everything in moderation. But what I'm saying is that the things of the world are less distracting to us. If people, see, you know, this is what people are going through stuff. They don't understand. If they just start getting into worship, what it does, it will take your mind out of those things. It will take your mind away from those things that have got you, that have bound you, that are tearing you up. If you're struggling with something, if you're struggling with addiction, if you're struggling of any kind, it doesn't matter whether it's an addiction to people or addiction to substance or addiction to whatever. These are the things people deal with. Amen. But when you get into worship, your mind just goes somewhere else. Hallelujah. And it fills you, that peace, the joy of God, it fills you. It's wonderful. See, God has created such a wonderful thing to help us. Have we learned that yet? Yeah. You know, the Bible is here to help us. Yeah. It's to make us better. Yeah. And yet, when people hear it preached, sometimes they're sad. And maybe they're sad because I'm yelling at them. But listen, sometimes we got to say it loud so you get it. Because if I say it loud, then you'll remember it. If you say it loud, then it affects, praise the Lord. And it's like I said before, you know, and I'll say this again. We don't, you know, there's a difference when I'm in the pulpit preaching under the anointing and when you're talking to people on the street. Yeah. By God, do not go up to people and start screaming at them with the Bible. Yeah. They're not going to receive it from you. It's not going to happen. Your friends and your relatives, they are not going to want to hear you doing what I do. You're a moron! They're not going to hear that. See, you all can laugh, but people don't laugh out there when you do that. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There are differences, but praise God. But worship, we need to worship, amen? We need to learn that worship, when we need something, when we've prayed for something, then we worship God because we know that we have it. The Bible tells us that we have it, amen? Let's see some effects of worship here, okay? Let's turn to 2 Chronicles. That's in the back of the Bible, or the front of the Bible. Back, depending on which way you look at it, I guess. But it's really the front. 2 Chronicles, chapter 5. Praise God, hallelujah. 2 Chronicles, chapter 5, verse 13. Praise the Lord. Now this is right after what's happening here. This is right after Solomon built the temple of God. Now you know that God had told David that Solomon was going to build the temple, and he directed him on how to build it. And so they built it, and they put everything they had into it. I mean, they filled the temple with gold. They made the walls. I mean, the walls of the temple were gold. All the implements were pure gold. It was beautiful. Amen. You know, some people get mad at like there's always been poverty in this earth. God has never, because of poverty, God has never used that as an example to make everybody else look poor. You know what I'm saying? He's never using his example. You know, there's so many people that try to be pious and say, well, the church, you know, we don't need to do all this in the church because we could take that money and we could give it to poor people. You don't think there was poor people back in the days of Solomon? Oh, there was lots of poor people. There was more poor people there than what we know now in America. God was not, see, this is what, because people think wrong. The poverty has nothing to do with, all it has to do with is the mindset. Yeah. Has everything to do with what you know. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. But at any rate, so they build this and they pour into it. See, and this is the reason I bring this up, because that is a form of worship. When you bring in your offering, when you bring in your tithe, when you bring in your best, yeah. Praise the Lord. All the women that have blessed us with meals and snacks over the years, little things like that, that's bringing your worship. Why? Because you're humbling yourself and you're bringing something for the betterment of, hopefully you're doing it for the Lord to bless his people. I hope you're not just doing it to get brownie points. Listen, if you do anything for brownie points, you just lost all your blessing. I don't care if it's an offering. Praise the Lord. If you give an offering just so you can get a tax receipt, well, praise the Lord, you just lost your blessing from the Lord. Yeah, that's the truth. We don't give offerings. We don't give offerings because of what we get back. I mean, if they give you a tax receipt for it, glory to God. But you know, my point is that if we only give, then you'll never give the way God wants you to. Amen. Because sometimes, sometimes giving an offering to God is walking up to somebody who needs it and hand it and put it in their hand and not looking back and thinking twice about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But in any rate, I'm trying to get in here about what happens when you worship. But they build the temple. So they build the temple and they pour everything into it. They make it this magnificent, beautiful temple. Hallelujah. And then they bring the Ark of the Covenant in there, into the Holy of Holies. And if you don't know what that is, that's where back in the day before Jesus came, that's where the Spirit of God resided. That's where the power of God was in there, in the Holy of Holies. And nobody could go in there. You got to think about this. Nobody could go in there. Only a priest could go in there like once a year. And when he did, they would put bells around his ankles and they'd tie a rope to his leg. Why did they do that? Because if he went in there and he had sin that that wasn't fixed, he would drop dead. They would hear the bells stop ringing, and they would drag him out so he didn't stink it. Hallelujah. That's what they were doing in the old time. Yeah. See, this is listen. If the modern day church had to be put in the Old Testament, glory to God. Hallelujah. There'd be an awful lot of dead people. Now I'm telling you right now, because there's people that they don't think twice about lying or robbing to God. They don't think twice about it because God's got mercy now. He's poured out his mercy through his son, hoping to get a lot of people. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's the truth. But at any rate, so that's where we're at. And so they bring the Ark of the Covenant in, the presence of the Lord. And that's important for this message. We're going to get there. Amen. But verse 13, we pick it up. It says, indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound. Okay, this is so important. See, we're not going to do things the way they always did in the Old Testament. But there are principles that we get from the Old Testament that help us with our life today. And this is the principle. This is what we're talking about. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one. What does it mean? They were endeavoring to worship the Lord as one. I want to do my thing. Well, I want to play the guitar the way I want to play it over here, and I want to play the drums the way I want to play it, and I want to hear the songs that I want to hear. See, they weren't doing that. What they were doing is they were seeking the Lord, and they were trying to be one for Him. Amen. To make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. That's worship. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Praise God. That the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. It filled the house of God. Hallelujah. And the priests couldn't minister. We know by other scriptures that the priests couldn't stand because of the power of God. See, when the glory of God comes in, it's just, oh, wow, that's neat. What's that? That's not what we're talking about. The reason they couldn't minister anymore is because they couldn't speak. They were probably laying out prostrate on the ground, not even being able to get up, hallelujah, under the power of God. You want to know, see, this is the thing. What the Lord has told us, what the Scripture tells us, is that God in these last days wants to pour out His Spirit upon all the earth. He wants to do it in such a way such as never been seen before. Now, if they couldn't stand, if they couldn't minister, how would you like it if you just got caught up into the Spirit and you couldn't even move for like a week? Do you know what I'm talking? I mean, this kind of stuff is what we're looking for in the future. Now, listen. When I say that, don't get all weirded out. Like, oh my God, I can't move. It's not like that. No, it's like it's like you are so enraptured into God that you just can't do anything else. Hallelujah. It feels good. feels real good. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see that. This is what happens. This is what happens there. So they're doing right by the Lord by building his house, as his commandment says. See, this is why we follow the commandments of the Lord, because he always blesses us. Is there anybody here that you know, one of the things in ministry you'll learn, this is something that I've learned, my pastor always talked about, but it's something that's so true. If there's anything that's annoying in ministry, maybe one of the greatest annoyances, is when you've instructed something to be a certain way, and somebody had an idea that they wanted to do it differently. There is nothing more annoying than that. Why is that? Because when you instruct to the leader who gets the plan from God, hopefully, gets the plan from God, and they say, this is how we need to bring it to pass, and then you instruct people, okay, I want you to do this, you to do this, you to do this, you to do this. Okay, because you can't fulfill it. You can't do it all yourself. This is a great joy of being a leader in ministry, is that you don't get there by yourself. Yeah. You have to go with people. Yeah. Amen. And sometimes those people, they don't want to do what they got to do to get there. And so what do? You labor and you labor and you labor and you put out and you give them, you instruct them, and you say, listen, if we do this, this, and this, then this is going to happen. But we have to do this, this, and this. And we have to come together as one and do it. But then you got people out here, well, I still want to do my own thing, and I still want to do my own thing. And, oh, I think maybe you should try it this way. Yeah. Glory to God. But that's not the way. Listen, God ain't telling you what to tell me. God tells me what to do for the church. Yeah. That's the way it is. He's always done it that way. It's the way he's always going to do it. When I'm in my pastor's church, unless he asks me for my opinion, I don't give it to him. Right. Why? Because it's not my place to make suggestions of what God wants to do, because he ain't telling me for him. Yeah. Amen? It's the same thing in a household. I mean, and if you do this, shame on you, or if you've done this, shame on you. Praise the Lord, repent, and move on. But in a household, kids don't tell the parents what to do. Mom and Dad, I think we need to add on to the back of the house this year because I want a bigger playroom, so we're going to do that. No, it doesn't happen that way. Why? Because they don't pay the bills. Because they don't make the decisions. They don't get that say. Amen? That's the way that it goes. Praise the Lord. So where was I in there? So, yeah, you know, God, people, where was I going with this? Yeah, God has a way of doing things, and he wants me to move us into it, or anyone, any pastor to move us into it, and there's people that will resist it and keep the plan from happening, or slow it down. You realize, now when we go in the Old Testament, you see Joshua and Caleb, they were the faithful ones. God said, here's the promised land, I want you to go in, told them through Moses, their leader, amen, he said, this is the land. The Lord says, go spy it out, check it out, see if it's not good. So they sent out spies. They went and checked it out to see if it wasn't good. Come back, and they say it was good. And then all the people said, nevertheless, there's the sons of Anak there. And the land will consume us and all this stuff. And they said, we can't do it. And then Joshua and Caleb, the only faithful ones, said, hey, listen, we can do this. We can do it. The Lord is with us. We can do it. He said, and they said, no, we can't do this. So what happened? It took them 40 years. It took Joshua and Caleb 40 years to even see the promised land, because the rest never saw it. Why? They all died in the wilderness. Because he said, because you rejected me, he said, you're not moving in. What's the principle? When God's saying, let's move, you have a choice. Get on board. That's why I tell people, get on board or get out. Why? Because if you don't get on board, you hold the rest of us back. And I want you to go hold some other church back. Hallelujah. Yeah, if you're going to be dead, go be dead in some other church. If we want to be a live church. We want to be moving into the power of God. Why? Because I want the fire department to come, because they see the fire of God coming out of the roof. And I don't mean the buildings burning down. And I want them to get out of their trucks and fall out in the parking lot because they can't stand it and say, woo, I don't know what's going on in there, but it sure is good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, this is what we're trying to move into. This is each step of the way. This year, you'll see these messages, the ones that we ended the year on and the ones that we're starting the year off with. God, we're not preaching these by accident. God's taking us somewhere. But I'm going to tell you right now that this year, and I'm going to be sharing it, there's some direction for this year. I got, the other day, I got really, it really settled in me, direction for this church for this year. And there's things that we picked up when we were in Pensacola from Reverend Greer that we know that the Lord is doing and wanting to do this year. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to take people deciding they're going to step out more than they ever have. And when I mean step out more than they ever have, I mean it's going to take them stepping out in worship like they never have. It's going to take them stepping out in consecration like they never have. Stepping out in giving like they never have. But I'm going to tell you something. The end of all of this is great blessing. Hallelujah. The end of all of this is increase. Increase. My wife has already was talking about it in announcements. See, some people just ignore the announcements. But the announcements are always important. Amen. Because we don't announce them. We don't just stand up here and say, well, there's a volleyball game. You know, no, we don't do stuff like that. We announce things. We do things with purpose. We announce things with purpose. Announcements isn't the time to say to shut down and just say, well, I can check up on the news real quick or something, or, you know, see what the score is. See, listen, if you have an issue paying attention in church, your first issue is pride. You're full of yourself. Because you think that you already know. It doesn't matter if I stand up here and taught the same thing every single week. It does not matter. You don't know it yet. Why? Because if I'm standing up here preaching it every single week, that means that you still need it. Yeah, hallelujah. You know how many times I'll listen to a message? You know why we put them online? Oh, because we're full of ourselves. We like to see that we got 10,000 messages online. We put them online so people can go back and listen to them again. So they can go in and get the stuff you didn't get the first time. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, that's all free, no charge. God's doing good things. He's going to take us into these awesome things. But we're not going to get there unless we submit ourselves. Submitting yourself is going to say, listen, I'm going to put down what I want to do for this thing. This doesn't mean you can't live a life. Listen, like if you think that this is taken away from you, you're staying in Moronville. You got to come out of Moronville and come into Family Church Mayville where you get taught right. Amen. Don't stick in the background saying, well, that's not right for me. No, it is right for you. How do I know? Because the B-I-B-L-E, you know, the Bible, that tells me so. When this tells me so, it's the truth. Amen. When this says it, it's the truth. It's the way it is. If I preach it out of here, you got it good. You can say, hey, it's true. Not because Pastor Jeff is so awesome, even though he is, but not because Pastor Jeff is so awesome, but because the Bible is awesome, because God is awesome. And this, my friends, is why we worship him. Because he is awesome. He's given us a book that works. I just love he's given us a book of instructions that work. And yet people take the book of instructions and they'll go like, well, I'm going to do it my way. Can you imagine if we did that with any other thing? What if you got a shed kit from Home Depot and you got the instructions? Everything is cut just the way you need it. You got all the pieces. Hallelujah. You know, I assembled some tables out here in the last couple of weeks. Amen. They didn't come in. They come in a small box. Amen. And I got to put the legs on them and stuff like that. Well, what if I just decided to do it any old way I wanted to? Trying to put the chair legs on the table and the table legs on the chair. Can you imagine that? Sitting on a chair that's this high and at a table that's this low? You know what I'm saying? Somebody come in and say, somebody didn't listen to the instructions. Well, that's how I know that your life, if I look at people's lives and it ain't working, my own life, and something ain't working, it's because I ain't been listening to the instructions. If we listen to the instructions, we will get the outcome. But we got to listen. We got to do. Amen? We don't get mad at the instructions. People are like, why, you know, I didn't open that box, pull out those instructions, and go, man, these instructions are trying to bind me up and just make me do things I don't want to do. But people do that with the Bible. They do that with church all the time. They're like, no, they don't want me to have any fun. No, God wants you to have life and more abundantly. What does that mean? He wants you to have a more abundant life than you had before. Do you know what's included in abundant life? Lots of joy. Yeah, lots of happiness, lots of peace. Anybody don't want that? No, I don't want any peace today. I'd rather be miserable and smell bad. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No, people want to be free, right? Why do we go to church? So we learn how to be free. Why do we come back? So we can help others be free. Some people go to church to get free. And then they continue going to church to get free. And they continue to go to church to get free. And then they continue to go to church to get free. No, if you go on and you got free, you're free. Amen. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Yes. If you keep going back because you got free, you don't have to go back. You see, you're going for the wrong reason then. Yes. What you need to stay free, praise the Lord, is you got to follow the B-I-B-L-E. You got to follow the Bible. You ain't got to go to, you don't go to church. Then you go to church to bring your supply. See, we should all have a supply. We should all come in and bring a supply. Is there anything worse than having like a, can you imagine if I just lived at home, my mom's home still, and didn't do anything, didn't bring any finances in, didn't bring, you know, my oldest son here, Mark, still lives at home, and we charge him a little bit of rent. Why do we do that? Because he works full time. It's only right that he contributes to the house. He didn't have a problem with that. We're not bad parents because we do that. He's got to contribute to the house. Why? But see, this is the same thing with the church. The same thing with the church. People come into the church and they don't want to contribute. They want to be drains. They want the church to work for them, but they don't want to work for the church. They don't want to make it a priority. They don't want to make what's a priority. See, the thing is, the local church is a priority to God. That's his number one. That's what Jesus died for, is a local church. Amen? And us individually, but as for the local church. But people come into the local church, and then they don't want to make the church a priority, and then they wonder why this ain't working in their life. It's because God isn't going to suddenly start breaking his word and start doing for you when you are lazy, full of yourself, pride bag, and you don't, because you don't want to do, it's like I was talking on Sunday. People don't tithe, they don't do it because they're selfish, or they don't know, one of the two. But sooner or later, you got to figure it out. We don't preach this stuff. Again, we don't preach this stuff because it's suddenly making me rich. I tell you, I still make less than I did 10 years ago. I still have more blessed, and I'm still better off than I was 10 years ago. I'll say that. But it's not because I'm doing it for money. I'm certainly not doing it for money. I love the fact, I'll honestly tell you. I mean, there will be a day of harvest, and I'll walk into things, and I'll make more money. And I know that day's coming, you know what I mean? I don't have a problem with that. I don't say these things from the standpoint of saying, oh, feel bad for me. Don't feel bad for me because I'm set up good. Hallelujah. Because even if none of you come, God's still taking care of me. Why? Because I'm going to stay faithful. You know what I'm saying? But my point is that God allows these things to be like this for a while, because when he allows you to go through it the right way, then nobody can sit there and say, well, they're just doing it for this. No, I'm doing it to help people, to get people, because I want people connected. I want people sitting free. Yeah, absolutely. I want you free from all those things that bind you. Why? Because I was bound. I know what it's like. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't know how you got me on all that, but it's good. Praise the Lord. You got to put a little bit of water back in because a lot of it's coming out. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, so we've seen one example there. Let's turn to a couple chapters away. Let's see, I just flipping around so much, mine automatically went there. Go to chapter 7, 2 Chronicles 7. We're going to start in verse 14. This you probably have known. You probably heard this scripture before, but you don't know it this way. 14 through 22, amen. Praise God. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves. How do you humble yourself? You start whipping yourself with something sharp, with some leather straps. You beat yourself and you cut yourself up and stuff like that. No. You start talking bad about yourself. No. Humble yourselves. You pray. You prostrate yourself. You worship God. That's what it is. You worship. You put yourself lower in your esteem than God. You lift up God and you put you down. That's humbling yourself. Look at what it says here. If my people who are called by my name. Well, first of all, you got to be called by his name. How do you get called by his name? Accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Congratulations, you just made it in. Now you are called by his name. Amen? Will humble themselves. You could say, worship me. And pray and seek my face. See, it's all the same thing. I mean, there is a difference between prayer and supplication and worship and stuff like that. But actually, they all work together. Actually, Pastor Nancy Dufresne said that I think she said worship is the highest form, or praise is the highest form of prayer. Yeah. Amen? Yeah, because it's part of prayer. See, we just think of prayer as going to God, asking him for stuff. But that's so foolish. God wants us to fellowship with him. When we can ask God. He wants us to ask him for things. That's definitely there, but it has to be more than that. We have to be more than just drains. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Praise the Lord. Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. ways other than what I've preached, said that in here. Amen? When God says do not, it means do not. When he says don't touch, don't touch. Why? Because it'll burn you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Then I will hear from heaven. Then I will hear from heaven. These other things have to be first when you have a then there. Then I will. If my people are called by my name, so you got to be called by his name. If you're not his people, not called by his name, none of this will work for you. So if that's you tonight, well, praise the Lord, but you don't qualify. You can qualify in a little bit. We'll just pray a prayer together. It'll be that simple. But hear the principle. You have to be called by his name. And then you got to humble yourselves. You got to worship him and pray and seek his face. Get down on your hands and knees and say, Lord, I want to know what you want me to do. I want to know where you want me to go. What's next, God? How do you want me to deal with this? How do you want me to deal with that? What do you want me to fix? Where am I wrong? Praise the Lord. I should preach this on Sunday because all of them need it too. But you know something? You'll get blessing for being here. Amen? They won't. Yeah, praise the Lord. Why? Because there's just no different than a Sunday service. People get fed, say, glory, but it's just the way it is. It's just the way it is in the churches all across the nation. Why? Because people don't have a clue. Yeah, they don't realize. If you said that Jesus was going to show up here, if you advertised that, like, and you had proof and everything, you couldn't get a car in Mayville. I ain't joking. You couldn't get people to talk with county, to tell you the truth. There'd certainly be no place to stay, and yet God shows up in churches like this every time we congregate. Praise the Lord. He's here. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What's your land? Well, praise the Lord. God does call us we're his field. He calls us a lot of things, but his field's one of them. Why does he use all these examples? Because he's trying to give us a lot of room to grow. Yeah. Amen? A lot of room to be blessed. Yeah. So then he'll heal their land. He wants to heal our land. He wants to heal our lives. He wants to heal this nation. He wants to heal this city, this town. He wants to heal this county. He wants to heal this state. He got a lot of work ahead of him, but he wants to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's just a joke. Don't get mad at me. Praise the Lord. Listen, if I didn't love it, I wouldn't be here. I love where God has me, because where God has me is where I'm supposed to be. That's where I grow, and that's where I bless him the most too. Amen. Now, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. The reason I brought this up, the reason we started here, is that whole idea of worshiping God, the importance of worshiping God. Look what he says. If those people will do that, now my eyes will be open, my ears attentive to prayer in this place. You see, sometimes prayers aren't answered quickly or at all because people just don't do it right. You know what I mean? Or because they're living wrong. You know, I can't eat Twinkies and ding-dongs all day long and then blame God when I have a heart attack. Yeah, I'm not talking one day, you know, obviously, but if I live on them, you know what I mean? Have you ever had an Amish fry pie? Man, I just recently got introduced to those. Glory to God, they can make me real bad real quick. Hallelujah, you got to watch them things. I just stay away from them. But they're good, amen? But you know, you can't live on that stuff. You know what I mean? And if you do, you can't believe God for healing. You understand. See, God works, but he doesn't work according to his, or against his will, against his word. Amen? Praise the Lord. So be attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I coveted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as ruler in Israel. Now, I know a lot of this doesn't make sense to you, but this is basically talking, because we've been brought into this. This was talking to Solomon, but we've been brought into this by the blood of Jesus. And so we have the ability, the Bible says that we reign as kings and priests. Amen? So that's what we've been brought to just kind of sum it up for you. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them. Look at this. People don't realize your life speaks about worship all the time. Your life is, what you worship is whatever's important to you. Whatever you're, if you're talking about this all the time, you worship that. Some people can worship a man or a woman, you know, a mate, if you will. They just like they can't stop thinking about it. That's worship. That's adoration. Amen. That's worship. If you got a TV show that you have to watch, that you would skip church to watch it, praise the Lord. You worship that thing above God. That's the truth. If you, I don't care what it is. If it's anything on a continual basis that removes you from the presence of God, amen. It can be a TV show above prayer, amen. It could be sports. It could be. We see these things a lot. These are. I'm just using examples of things we actually see a lot, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Some people worship alcohol above it. Christian, listen, alcohol has no place in a Christian's life. Absolutely no place in a Christian's life. All it does is destroy. There's no good that comes out of it, and yet people are sucking them down left and right. They got churches that are built around this garbage. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's the truth. Show me a good thing that's ever come from it. Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. We're talking about worship. See, anything that you worship, anything that you exalt above God, you're worshiping that. It becomes your God. Then I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them. Why do you think the church is in such disarray? Because the church is full of all this stuff. We have people in this church. We've had people that have worked in other churches in this church, and I've had great conversations with them about things that go on in other churches. I'm not trying to talk bad about churches, but I'm talking about this is why the church as a whole doesn't look good in this country. It's because they're doing things. They've gone back to the evil things. They've forsaken these things. And they wonder why there's no power of God there anymore. Amen? Yeah, when you can have the leaders of the church in the back room getting trashed off the communion wine, well, come on now. That's not the direction of God. And they wonder why they don't have the power there. Praise the Lord. Where am I? Verse 20. Then I will uproot them from my land that which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this calamity on them. Amen? That's talking about the Lord taking care of that. The Lord doing that. You understand that? Saying enough is enough. Amen? And see, people they get tripped up over this idea of gods because they think, well, it's God, so it must be a deity that they worship. But people today have made a lot of things their deity. They've made a lot of things their gods. It's just whatever it's something of reverence that you reverence, that you esteem above the Lord, anything. And so we need to filter our lives and go through our lives and make sure that we're not doing these things, amen? Exodus 34:14 says, for you shall worship, declare, no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Hallelujah. He's a jealous God. God is not okay with you. He ain't okay with you running around on him. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Now, I got to do this quickly, fairly quickly, but we can handle it. We can get there because this is important. This will change our lives. Amen? Your life is a declaration of what you worship. Your life is a declaration of what you worship. Look at your life. That's what you worship. You can find what you worship. Where is God and the things of God, the direction of God, where is that on your list of things to do today? Yeah. That's the declaration of what you worship. This is important. This is important. This is important. So important. Amen? Okay. I want to read this to you, 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 in the Amplified. It says, "Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Emancipation from bondage, freedom." Okay? This is kind of like, this is where it's all coming together for us right now. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Emancipation from bondage. Hallelujah. Where the spirit of God is. So we remember, we saw that, we talked about that in the temple of old. It was in the Holy of Holies, in the Ark of the Covenant. That's where the power of God was, remember? And you remember when they brought the ark into the temple, what happened? That God was so excited that he poured out his spirit, kind of went blah like that with his spirit, and all of a sudden people, the ministers couldn't stand up anymore, and people were all drunk in the Holy Ghost, and they're running around not knowing what, you know what I mean, all caught up in the glory of God. Remember how awesome that was? Remember being there when you were there? Hallelujah. We've been there yet. We've experienced a little bit of that, but we haven't been there yet. We haven't been immersed in it yet. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we see this, but look at this. I want to pull up a scripture in between these real quick. Acts 17:24 says, "God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands." Though this is getting good. I don't know about you, but you should get excited about this. Because if you can't sense where we're going, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a little precursor. We're going somewhere real good. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And all of us, and this is verse 18, back to 2 Corinthians in the Amplified, amen, 3:18 in the Amplified. "And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord." We continue, this is a mirror. What does a mirror do? It reflects the image. As we behold, it is reflecting. Do you understand? What's it reflecting? It's reflecting our image. Praise God. What does it say here? It says, continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is being reflected out of here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are we connecting the dots? Am I helping you? Amen? As we're reading the Word and we're reflecting, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Are constantly being transfigured into his very own image. So we're getting constantly, as we stay in the Word, we're being transformed into this image. Amen. In ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, when I was putting this message together, I had spent 2 hours and I had worked on several messages. I had wrote two faith fixes. I spent, or at least one faith fix that day. I wrote another one the next day or the other day, but whatever. But I was just spending this time with God, and I'm in this coffee shop, and I'm sitting there, and I'm reading the Word, and I'm getting filled up, and I'm putting together this message, and this message just wasn't quite fitting. I wasn't quite getting there yet. And as I'm leaving there, I'm just hooch, amen? You can ask my hair, the lady who cuts my hair, Julie, because I went and saw her next, amen? Not to get my hair cut, but I went to make my appointment, because you know I don't like talking on the phone, so I got to stop by and make my appointment. So which is so foolish, but that's just the way I do it, so it doesn't matter. But I go in there, you know, and I was all hyped up on the Holy Ghost and just all filled, and I prayed all the way up there, you know, and I could have, you know, cast out demons and walked around. I mean, I was doing real good, hallelujah. I was so excited and so pumped up, praise the Lord. In fact, I left there. I was like, you know what? They just got a better message than most people get on Sunday mornings. Not here in our church, but in a lot of churches, hallelujah. Why? Because it was full of the Holy Ghost. Listen, if it's not a church full of the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to get nothing out of it. But anyways, I'm leaving the coffee shop, and I'm so excited because I've just been in the presence of God for 2 hours in public, glory to God. And so I'm leaving, and I'm just full of God, and I'm happy, and I'm excited. And I said to the Lord, I said, how can I stay in this fellowship? I don't want to walk out of this fellowship. I don't ever want to not feel this fellowship. And all of a sudden, I start hearing something in my spirit. It says, in the days gone by, people came to worship at the temple because that's where God was. Now we worship and we are the temple. Worship is what causes the presence of God to come and fill his temple. And true fellowship to manifest. Worship is what does it. It was back then and it is now. But now this is the connection that we have to see. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We have been made this temple. And so now when we worship, we don't just get it out here and swirling around us. We get it and it starts from in here and it pours out of us. You can walk around in it. You can live in it because of worship. Worship puts us there. It brings us to that place where we're in the presence of God. And because we are the walking, talking temple of God, we carry it everywhere we go. So you ain't gotta put your time away and say, hell, I don't got time to go to the temple. I am the stinking temple. Hallelujah. And as you worship God, as you learn to do that, listen, I've said this before, if you don't learn to worship in church, you won't worship outside of church. How do I know this? Because the anointing is in church. Right now, it's real easy to get excited right now because the anointing is here and the presence of the Lord is here. It's really easy to say amen and so be it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But when you go out there and you face real life, it isn't going to be so easy. You need to put it into practice here because when you go out there, you're going to learn how to do it out there. And you're going to start, you're going to stir it up and it's going to start changing your life. If your life has not been changing, it's because you don't worship God enough. If you worship God in truth and spirit, then you would never have another issue as long as you live because you'll constantly get through them. You'll roll over them like a steamroll. I'm not saying things won't rise up against you. Of course things will rise up against you, but it doesn't matter what rises up against you because you're the temple of God. And if you worship him, then his spirit is pouring out of you. The spirit is like it's like an invisible steamroller, and the devil raises his ugly head and he just bah, knock him on his butt. Hallelujah. Get out of my way. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. This is what Jesus knew he was doing. He knew that when he bridged that gap, that he was going to take your sin and make it of no effect and give the Holy Ghost entrance into your life so you didn't ever have to be defeated again. When you're dealing with something, when things are rising up, you start worshiping God. When you start feeling like you can't, or when everybody's telling you you can't, you start worshiping God. When you're broken and you're sick and you're laying there defeated, you start worshiping God. When you start feeling like there's just nothing in the world that will change your situation, you start worshiping God. Because you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and God wants to move in your life. Hallelujah. God is not okay with his people being silent because he wants to be able to move on them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I spit all over my Bible. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Reverend Greer was telling us when we were down there, not fixing the clothes. He was telling us when we were down there that he was praying in his new hangar. There, praise the Lord, which we sowed into. We did personally, we did as a church. I went out there and worked on it. Praise the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him when he was in there. And he said, if you worship me, you'll get there quicker. If you worship me, you'll get there quicker. Well, I'm going to tell you something. What God does for one, he does for everyone else. When you don't know what to do, you start worshiping God. When you feel like you can't, you start worshiping God. And you're not going to feel like it. But you remember, you don't always feel like it. Listen, you don't always want to do what you got to do. I don't always want to take a bath or shower. But I do. Because I don't want to stinketh. I want to smell goodeth. I want to be a sweet-smelling sacrifice. Amen? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of other things we don't do or we don't want to do, but we do them because we have to. Yeah. Amen? Glory to God. I'm sure if you ask Rachel, she's not been a mother that long. I'm sure if you ask her, she didn't always want to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Amen? But she does it. Why? Because Sophia tells her she needs to. Amen? Hallelujah. But that's just what we do. Amen? Sometimes you got to do what you gotta do. And that's okay. Because when you do it God's way, when you do it for God, then the things that God wants to do, they manifest, they come out. Yeah. So you're gonna face times where you're not feeling good and it seems like your faith doesn't work. What do? You worship God. I praise you, God. And you start telling him, what, and just take these down for reference. We ain't going to go there. But take these down for reference. Psalm 95, 1 through 8. In all of Psalm 100. So Psalm 95, 1 through 8. In all of Psalm 100. It tells you all about worshiping God. It tells you what and there's many psalms that do this. These are just, I just pulled these two as I was going to use. I couldn't use them all in a service. But this shows you what you do. What you do is you go before God and you start talking about how good he is. You start blessing him because he's done so much for you already. Lord, you brought me this far. Hey, I don't care where you come from. If you're still here, you made it this far. And if you've made it this far, I'm going to tell you right now, it's only by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God. It's by nothing in your own ability, nothing in your own power or anybody else's. Praise the Lord. If you come to this church and you've got help, it is not me. It is God. Now, I will be a vessel that God will use, just as you'll be a vessel God will use, if you let him. That's all any of us are, just vessels that God will use, but we have to be willing to be used. Amen? Praise the Lord. And the first place we're going to be used is with worship. Hallelujah. We're going to worship our God, and we're going to see our lives change. I'm going to tell you what, there are things promised in this year that are so wonderful. And the first place that we got to reach out and do that is we're going to reach out with our mouths and take it. We're going to say, Lord, this is a year of harvest. Praise the Lord. This is a year of harvest for seeds that have been sown. We're going to go into this more in the coming weeks. God's got good things for us. And this is why you don't want to miss, because what God's doing, praise the Lord. God can do it. People can miss it. Praise the Lord. There's people that needed this tonight. There's people that will call me this week that needed to hear what I just preached tonight. I'll just point and say, listen to Friday service. I'll be sweet and be loving, be kind, because that's what I got to do. But at the same time, you want to go like that, too. You want to just say, listen, we don't do this because we're like, what do you think we're doing? We're not messing around here. I ain't playing church. I ain't going to play church. Amen? I'm not playing church with people like my dear sister over here, Cindy. Amen? I want to see her healed. That's why we came. Amen? I want to see my sister Liz healed and their family all coming to church and serving God. I want to see these things. Amen. Praise. That's why we're here. Amen. I want to see my kids serving God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And all the rest of you too. I ain't just stopping there, but just, I can't go on all day. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.